Well, this morning, we're going to head into a subject God's been dealing with me for a long time. I'm just waiting for the time when he wanted me to start teaching on this. But we're going to talk about, I just called it devils, demons, and evil spirits. We're going to look into this area because we use the term here, devils, demons, and evil spirits. But there's a lot of terms within the Bible that deal with these things. You know, we have the term, people say Satan, they have Lucifer, Beelzebub, different things that are said that are used in Scripture. We'll look at some of those things that are said eventually in there, I suppose. But I was going along in this, starting it off, and I really didn't get some direction till this morning here. I just knew I'd been studying on this, and I put some things together, but I just didn't get a sense of where the direction goes. But lots of times that's what happens with me. I can know general direction God wants to go, but specifics will come usually when I step in a direction of faith. You're going to find this out. Lots of times we like everything clear to know what to do, and God doesn't operate that way. I learned that over time. He doesn't operate. You know, you might get a little smidgen of what you ought to be doing. It isn't till you move in that direction till all of a sudden then things clear up of what to do. And so, they used to have the saying, it's always easier to steer a moving car. That was before the days of power steering. You know, it's easy today to turn a steering wheel, but in the days when you didn't have power steering, it was all the power you could give. You know, so, you know, you got a good workout when you were driving. The gym was in the car, you know. You didn't have power brakes. It's all the power you could push on them things. Remember those days? How hard can I push on this thing to get her to stop? So you had those things on there. But we're going to look at these things. One of the things that we're going to talk about is because we're going to read this morning a story about a person who was demon-possessed. I just felt the Lord wanted me to start off at. But we want to understand this. When we use the term possessed, a lot of people's ideas about demonics and demons and people possessed are probably from a lot of movies that were made and things and all kind of stuff, and people have these ideas about things. But we need to understand this. I like what Kenneth E. Hagin, and using the term possession, he said it would probably be better used if we made the term demonized, because there's different levels of possession. We need to understand that, you know, we're going to read a story where a person was completely possessed, spirit, soul, and body. He didn't operate his own body or his own thoughts and his own minds. There was spirit that operated through him. But we find that there's people and stuff Jesus ministered to and dealt with demons. They weren't necessarily in that place or in that. And you're going to find out as people today, as we look from a scriptural standpoint, is dealing with people. That people can have demonic problems and they're not possessed. You know, people can have problems in the areas that they're thinking, the way they think. They're driven. And we have a lot of that today. Today, probably in America, we have so much trying to deal with psychology, and things that really have gotten way out of line of things. And, you know, we ought to find out that psychology in itself hasn't been a great answer to a lot of problems. You know, it hasn't done it. And we need to know that really from the church world standpoint, in our thinking and how we think about things. The Lord spoke to me a number of years ago and said to me about this. He said, church in America is socialistic. And they are. I mean, it's among all the groups. Everybody had the socialism. We're trying to deal with society just from a natural level of things. We're trying to take care of the problems. We're trying to take care of things. And really the motives and things behind it are not being dealt with. We're going to look at some things as in these areas, dealing with our children and stuff like that. The areas that you have authority in things, people are trying to just do from a psychological thing and stuff, when really there are spirits behind what's going on. Amen. And if you don't deal with those spirits, you can do all the other stuff you want. Mm-hmm. And those spirits have to be dealt with. And we're going to find out levels of dealing with people. You know, you can deal with people over in the areas of, from a, say, a, from an adult to a child can be really different on how you have to deal with it from a spiritual standpoint. But also, there's things we're going to find out is dealing with spirits is in the areas where the Bible teaches people doing wrong, punishment keeps them from doing. I'm just going to tell you this. You know, if you're not going to, like we have today, you don't punish. That's, you don't do that. This is why people yield easily to wrongdoing, because there's one, you put pain involved. I want to show you what the scripture says in the New Testament. You put pain involved, people don't yield to do bad things. They don't listen to the devil so quickly. And because we've left, and Christianity has been the main culprit leading away from that, doing right. Christianity has been one of the main problems, is dealing with these areas. We call it love. And what happens is the bad people hurt all the good people all the time. And they call it being loving to those folk. No, it's not love. It's evil. It's wicked. And so we want to look at these things because we're going to look at dealing. We want to know for our own lives and our own families what we do, where our areas of authority lie. You need to know, we're going to look at the fact, you don't have any authority over the will of another person. You have no authority whatsoever over the will of another person. If you did, then and you it was given to you to do so, then therefore Jesus must have the will to do that. Why don't he make everybody get saved? Just override everybody's will. Jesus Christ himself will not override the will of an individual. And you can't either. We can do things to influence the will of a person. We can do things in that stuff to try to influence. But we need very careful in this area because many people are praying in things trying to change the will of an individual. We can deal with demonic things, but you can't. You're wasting your time trying to change the will of an individual.
Preach.
You're wasting your time. And see, we're trying to do that today. See, one of the things we're dealing with demonic powers in our country right now, especially all through our political system. In fact, our political system has had so much influence, people are more geared toward the political side. And a lot of our fights and this stuff going on today are all come from this political. Because, you know, everything, everybody turns around, yeah, this is political, that's political. No, it's just a lot of sin. Let's get down here what it is. It ain't political.
Amen.
It's people in sin.
Amen.
It's from governments to you name it, people in sin up to their necks. Mm-hmm. Fighting and battling each other all the time and that stuff. And there's demonic powers involved in these things. And it's in both groups. It's not in one group. You know, everybody, this group is bad, and, you know, we're good, and they're bad, and we're dealing with this. You know, get over into politics, and there's so much bad that's going on there, and it's in both sides. And there's things that people are dealing with. You know, we have, you know, we need, like in our country, is to really see, you know, we have about a 50-50 divide in our country. You know, we think about it, you know, like we have, you know, when Donald Trump became president, people are saying, oh, well, he won big in the election. But, you know, he only won by about 250,000 votes. That's all he won by. So we have basically a 50-50% divide in this nation. And, you know, just running around, and, you know, we just need to do more about getting the vote out. I think we ought to do a little bit more about getting the devil out. We're not doing that. We're not dealing with demonic powers. We're trying to persuade people, you know, say, well, through common sense, there ain't a devil got common sense. And if they're influencing somebody, common sense ain't listened to. We have, you know, these people, they say they have, they call it the Trump syndrome, which really, I wish they quit using that term, because what we're dealing with is demons in people. We're dealing with demons that have persuaded people that even, you know, I was reading a thing about a guy who they were talking about. He just, he was doing an interview with a reporter. And he's just, you know, 100% against, was against Trump and everything. Well, this guy named all these things off that Trump did that benefited him. But he wouldn't, you know, well, that was not a good thing. Well, I don't know. He just could not say anything is good. There was nothing natural about that. When I was reading the thing with him, this guy is possessed. Now, he's not, his mind is possessed in a way of thinking. A demonic power can get you to think in a certain way. I don't care what the Bible says. Once you've yielded to that, you can have a hard time to even, and I've done it with people already. They come along and they believe a certain way, and I say, well, this is what the Bible says, and you show them and show them, and they just keep going the other direction they're going. Mm-hmm. I've had this happen so many times. Why? People are persuaded by demonic power. Certain things are true. They're yielded to false teaching. So they believe that that's true, and you cannot persuade them off of it. They accepted that. And that's something they're going to have to deal with. That's something they got to deal with. You just ain't going to overtake other people. People have to decide. This is why, you know, you got to, you know, pay attention, even with ourselves, of being persuaded. We're warned from the scriptures itself in the New Testament about the end times, about demonic teaching. Mm-hmm. We're warned. Mm-hmm. It's going to prevail. And I tell you what, it is. It's a lot of stuff ain't good. Mm-hmm. It's mixed in. Now understand, the devil is not going to come along to you and just throw out and out lies to you. Because you know that, if he'd out and out lie to you. Deception always comes in, there's always truth to it. There's always truth. And what they do is they get you, you know, it's like they say, you know, you put a little bit of poison in something, and I'll tell you, when you have the rest of it really good, yummy, you know, you eat a little, oh, this really tastes great. And then, I want to eat some more. Yeah. And this is the way it happens. And so we want to look at this. If we understand, this is not to put anybody in fear. This is not to make us afraid. But see, we need to turn around and pay attention. What are we focusing on? What do we look as was a change of this country? The change of this country is not a political thing. It's just not a political thing. There's got to be a change of people and mindset, and what people are yielded to is, number one, people can't come to truth if truth's not preached. Amen. Not a facsimile thereof. Not something, well, this is okay, this is good. Because what happens, once those things are taken, after a while, you'll find there's more added to it and more added to it and more added to it. It just keeps going. It keeps building. And we need to understand this is stopping and sitting down and listening. It's going to take time to hear from heaven is what I'm doing. It's about ourselves and dealing with ourselves and stuff. And so we want to get over in and look at these things because, you know, we're not going to walk out here and going to see like in this condition this man's in. And we're going to look at Mark the 5th chapter. We're looking at something that it's obvious something is wrong. You know, it's one of the things that is very interesting. This one thing I know, even the Jews under the law in some ways were more spiritual than the spirit-filled people today. That shouldn't be. They at least could recognize demons. They could recognize even when people had demonic problems. You know, we have today, you know, the spirit-filled people in dealing with these things. I mean, the Catholic Church themselves, there are Catholic bishops and that stuff, and they're getting over and they realize we're in a whole mess of demonic problems. And they're going over now and starting to teach, you know, how to get people delivered. I mean, the Catholics are. And I'm really sort of ashamed of much of the spirit-filled church. Because they aren't even recognizing. See, God recognizes the truth of what's going on. There's foundational things that if they're not dealt with, we can go on and play all the games of all the other stuff. You know, the first thing Jesus said before he left with his disciples, he said, "In my name you'll cast out devils." Even when the first thing that he said is, "I'm going to make you rich," or "I'm going to make you this," or "I'm going to do that." First thing is, "Cast in my name you'll cast out devils." Whatever he said first is usually, learn to do that first. In fact, when I was born again, I was only born again a little over a month, and I had to deal with the devil. And you know, it's one of the things that's making a difference. I see people, that stuff, they get saved, and there's demonic problems, and they never get fixed, and it festers through their whole Christian walk. Just knowing the word itself, you're going to have to deal with the devil. You're going to have to walk by faith. And faith isn't something I just believe. It's something that I act and do. So it's not just, people get this idea, and we've left it to things as, well, I have faith, I believe this. Yes, but faith must be applied to things for the work. You can believe the devil, you can believe he's bad, you can believe all these things, but you're going to have to deal with him. You've got to deal with it. I mean, that's the way it is. He don't care what you believe. He's only interested in what you believe that you can put to work and do. Then, that puts him in his place. So we got to find out what we got to do, especially for our old lives, dealing with ourselves, our families around us, what we can do. He's very cunning. You need to understand this about Satan. You know, this is God neither sleeps or slumbers. Well, the devil don't either.
That's right.
Amen. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. He's very patient in waiting to move in things. Demonic powers will still wait. They look for opportunity. They look for weaknesses in us or anything like that. They look for those things because they want to, you know, you get a person has a problem, comes up. I mean, it could be a natural thing. But the devil finds something that he can get nag you about.
Amen.
He'll come and nag you about it.
Amen.
He'll come and do it. And there's a lot of people under a lot of worries and stresses. And it ain't got their demonic things are behind it. And they're trying to deal with it. Just, they tell you, you just got to be just a happy person. You got to be good. When you're being tormented, you can walk around, just be a happy person. But you know, if something's tormenting you, you'd be good to get rid of the torment thing.
Amen.
That'd be a good thing to start with, is to do that. Because there are problems in life and things that come along will come against you. But I found this out over the times. The devil is an ugly devil. And we have authority over him. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to put up with his junk. You know? If you're a moody person, it's because you're dealing with a demonic problem. I'm not telling you to be mad at anybody or anything. You're dealing with it. You've got to deal with those things. That's never usually a natural thing. People are in that. They're in it for something. Some reason or other. You know, say, well, you know, the way I was raised, yes, that opened up the door. The way you were raised and you applied to it, it opened up the doors for the devil to come in those things. If you want that change, you got to recognize those things and saying, hey, hold it. I had a problem, an area of weakness, and now the devil's amplified that thing. Now, if I want to get away from this, I'm going to have to deal with him. I'm going to let him do this stuff to me anymore. I ain't going to let him come over and blow his horn in my ear all the time. I'm not going to allow that. I'm not going to do that. There are reasons. Sometimes, you know, we don't find out for some people reasons why. There's some people from the standpoint, like the Bible doesn't go into this guy in Mark the 5th chapter of why he ended up demon possessed. But we find out his getting delivered. I know from reading after other people and people in ministry who God used them a lot in this area of dealing with demonic powers that lots of times when they talked with people over time after they were delivered, they found out there was certain keys of things that happened that opened up the door to the devil to their life. Now, they may have been ignorant about it. You know, the devil don't care that you don't understand or you don't know. He don't care. He ain't a nice devil. He don't look and say, well, that poor guy over there, he don't know much. So I mean, no, he don't know much. I'm going to really mess him up. He's going to know less till I'm done with him. You know, that's the way he acts. It's what he does. And so we need to understand these things. We don't want, the Bible tells us not to give him opportunity. We got to find this out. We don't give him opportunity. You're not going to have to walk around in life and be this perfection of everything and never do anything wrong and scared the devil's going to bother you. You have authority over it.
Amen.
What you got to live like you're in rule.
Praise God.
Like you're running the show rather than, you know, him. See, he can do all kind of crazy stuff, and he does all kind of crazy stuff, but you have to come to the place to know that you can put him in his place.
Amen.
You have to know that. See, and if you know that, you end up being afraid of him. You should not fear. If you have a fear problem, then you have a devil problem. He's the author of fear. The Bible says this to the Christian. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So if you have fear, you're afraid. You know, it's, you know, we got to learn how to deal with these things. You know, like people do, I watch people like, you know, have their children are afraid of the dark or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they do is they're always trying to deal with the kids. You know, you don't have to be afraid. There's nothing out there. Well, there's a spirit driving that child, that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You need to deal with that spirit.
Come on.
Hey, you ain't messing with my kid, buddy.
Amen.
See, fear's never from God. It's never from God. And see, this fear that people do. And so what we try to deal with is psychological. The church comes, has a psychological answer. Oh, you don't have to pray everything. God is with you. Yeah, and so is the devil.
Come on.
As Kenneth Hagin said this, and I said it before, and I heard him say this. He said, now he operated in the gifts of the Spirit, specifically in the areas dealing with demons. God dealt with him about in the realm of the Spirit and that stuff, and his operation of gift that he had. Is one of the things, and he said, he said most Christians, and he was never a man to exaggerate. He never exaggerated much. He said most Christians, and I had never heard him say it this way about anything, than he said like this. He said most Christians would literally die of fright if they saw the demonic powers that are around.
Amen.
You see, we need this. The consciousness of the spirit realm. In the same way, you need to be conscious of God's presence and of angels and things. See, but we don't have a consciousness of the realm of the spirit. You know, that's one thing is, when I got involved, see, I was involved in sorcery before I got saved. I was very conscious of the spirit realm and operating. So I got to be a Christian. I knew that there was demons because I messed with them. And I could get them to manifest. So I knew they're out there. And they're easy to get to manifest. People get them, Christians get them to manifest all the time and don't realize they're doing it. See, if you're not conscious of the spirit realm, so it's just like with God. People are struggling to get a hold of God, to get a hold of things. Why? They're not conscious of His presence. And I'm not talking about a natural consciousness. It's a way of thinking. It's the way you think about the realm that you live in. See, God's present. Now, people say, God's in me. And then they pray like He's moved out of town somewhere and they're trying to get a hold of Him. And hold it, you just told people God's in you.
Amen.
Well, see, you got to get a way of thinking about this. And so, changing the way you think about this realm. The life of faith is living like what you can't see is true.
Amen.
If you don't do that, you're not living a life of faith. The life of faith, I'm believing in a God I can't see. This is the life of faith. I believe in Jesus Christ, hallelujah, who saved me. You know, it says He's seated at the right hand of the Father. See, I believe that that's true. I believe that the Holy Spirit lives in me. I believe that's true. Can't see none of it. But you know what? Because I believe it and my actions toward it, He'll manifest Himself. This is the life of faith. What we want to have is God manifest and I'll believe. God show up, then I'll believe. That's not faith. That's not the faith walk. Faith is living like what the Bible says about you is true. That's real.
Amen.
That around you there's a spirit realm that is full. Now, if you know the Bible talks about, you know, that all the children born, they have an angel, the Bible says, concerning the angel. I want you to think about this. We live in this earth. The Lord said to Kenneth Hagin and made mention to him about as he got older, He asked him in one of his visions, He said, do you think that angel I gave you as a kid is gone? You think he left? So you think about this. Let's think about angels. How many people live in this earth? There's a billion. What, 9 billion now or something like that? Well, I know at least 9 billion angels. And there got to be more than that. Because there's other ones who do other things. There's a lot of angels around. See, when we think about this, the earth is filled with angels in this earth. It's full of angels in this earth. Do you live like that's true? Do you live like you have an angel? See, I got one that hangs around me. Say, how do you know? The Bible said so. I don't need to see something. I'm a faith person.
Amen.
The Bible said it. You have no place to believe for salvation if you can't believe those things about the Bible.
Come on.
Now think about it. If you can't, we talk about believing. Get yourself over in this area, hallelujah, that around you, the influence that's around you. Hallelujah. Because we yield to influences. We're yielding to them. And how we yield to them is how they can yield themselves to us. See, the angels, they're ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation. They're to minister for us. They're for us, to help us. You know, and they'd like something to do. If we're not using them, they're not. Then they're just, you know, they're idle. But see, you become conscious that they're there. Become conscious of the fact there's angels around you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Angels around me looking after me. Angels around me protecting me.
Hallelujah.
Angels around me. Hallelujah. You know, I was like with Jacob. Jacob wasn't even born again. He just followed the covenant he had.
Yeah.
And he comes out, leaves, you know, where his relatives, he got his wife, he moves out, and there's an angel encampment right by him.
Amen.
God, you know, opens his eyes and he got an angel encampment. And you know what he did? So he sees an angel. He wrestles with an angel and won't let him go. You're going to bless me. I ain't letting you go. Why could he do that? Because he had a covenant of blessing. It was a demand. The angel could not turn around and say, no, I can't bless you, I'm sorry. It is a command or a demand. See, we don't command or demand nothing. We know very little about authority and doing things. We don't understand these things. Angel, no, we don't tell our angels to do something. We beg God to try to get something done. But you know why we work? Because this is the way Christianity has really expressed itself in a lot of ways. And we've been come out of religious backgrounds, and it's amazing how it stuck to us like super glue. You know? It's like these doctrines have been stuck to us about, you know, we're supposed to be in fellowship with God, and we're tiptoeing Him around Him like we're scared of Him. And we got these angels to help us, and we ain't doing nothing with those. But our whole idea, God's in control. You know, something bad happens. I wonder why God did this to me. God, why did you let this happen? Why has this? I have no part in it. I'm a wonderful, great person. Why would anything bad ever happen to me?
Come on.
Well, praise God. But we want to look at things. Jesus Christ is a deliverer. This is what He does. Hallelujah. We see Him in Scripture. Sometimes He came and delivered even without an invitation. He just came and did it. And it's wonderful. But you want to see, you get the picture of, this is what He does. He delivers. This is why we are redeemed. As Mike read this one, we're redeemed from the curse of the law. We are redeemed from it. We are not. What was under the curse? It was all that came through sin. The devil brought all this into the earth. The junk into the earth. All sickness, disease, poverty, everything is because of demonic power. Is why it happens in the earth. It's why it happened. It took place. God wasn't trying to make people poor. We're redeemed from poverty. That's one of the things under the curse. We're redeemed from sickness. You know, we're redeemed. We're redeemed from our children straying away and going to hell. See, we're redeemed from these things. And people say, well, you know, see, this is why you need to understand your realm of authority. You know, I never worried about my kids. I don't worry about them. I don't do any worry prayers about my kids. Amen. I do prayers of faith, what God will do for them, what yes. God's going to do. Hallelujah. Yes. I remind Him what He's going to do. I don't sit around, oh, God, help me there. They did this wrong. Say, I don't care what it looks like out there. Amen. Hallelujah. They're my offspring. They're going to heaven with me. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, all these people that believe in once saved, always saved. I wish I'd one day live like that. It was true.
Come on.
They never live like it's true. Running around grabbing that stuff. We got so much religious junk said. But you know, it mixes people up. And so the truth doesn't get out there and men never get to live in the freedom God has for them.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'll tell you, I'm secure in my salvation.
Amen.
I ain't trying to get out of it. Hallelujah. See, walking in the light. It should be great joy to you to know this. When I look in this world today and see all going on, I feel so sorry for people, many Christians I feel sorry for. Because if they don't understand what's going on and happening. And I'm going to tell you, they look at the things going in the world and all this trouble in the world, it wears on. Mm-hmm. All these things, in these last days, it's just, your last days are bad. Mine are looking good.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I'm getting closer to be with Jesus. Things are looking up.
Every day.
See, you get yourself over. People are living and the way they do. Why? They don't know how to live by faith. The words of this book are true, and we live like they're true. Even though I can't see them, they're true. Does it look like I'm redeemed from the curse at all? Nothing ever comes after me? Yes, it does. I'll tell you this. When I step into another level I want to with God, I found this. The devil shows up big time. Stuff will start happening. I don't care. He can come and yell and scream all he wants.
Amen.
See, we're going to have to live and walk in the light of this thing. And I want you to get a hold of this. We're not going to go in and talk about these things so you can become afraid. If you become afraid, you need to sit down. You don't know as much about the Bible as you might think you do. And so find out. You've got to become secure in Christ Jesus that you can look at the devil and what he does and you don't back up.
That's right.
The Bible says you must resist the devil. You resist him. Resist is the idea that you, he comes and does something and you refuse to move. If you're moving back, you ain't resisting. We resist him. We stand still. When you've done all to stand, stand. When I've done what the word says, I'm going to stand. And I'll guarantee you, God will back me up on the stand. He doesn't do it because I'm powerful. He does it because he's powerful and I act in faith. I believe in what he will do. Amen. Who knows what I'd do at times. My God. But I always can be confident of what he does.
Yes.
This is the life of faith. Say, well, don't look like nothing's happening. Well, that might be a good sign. I can stand in faith. Don't look like nothing. This is where faith, I get to use my faith when it don't look like. This is the faith place. This is where I stop and say, praise God, it's working.
Amen.
I know my, if everybody rises up and say, well, it sure don't look like it. It sure don't look like it's happening. Say, hallelujah. Yes, but I see what you don't.
Amen.
I see. See, I have better sight than with my eyes.
Amen.
You know, it don't do any good to be able to see with your eyes, but you can't see in the realm of the spirit. You can't see spiritual things.
Right.
If you can't see them. See, the Bible gives me a sight into a realm that I cannot physically see.
Amen.
It's not. See, we have told in the Bible, we have done nothing but tell stories about people. These are, the Bible's not about stories, it's revelations.
Yes.
It is revelations of God to his people. It's revelations of where you stand and what you do in a world where the devil is trying to push you off and keep you from having the blessing of God and doing whatever. It's the stories. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have people who made it and people didn't.
Amen.
We have these ones down here and they're revelations on both sides. What not to do.
Amen.
And what to do. Hallelujah. And so, wonderful patterns. I don't know. See, I need these things. I like to look at things. I like to look at where the people that made it, but I also want to look at the God that didn't make it. If God put the story there, what was it there? Why? So I don't get tripped up in the same thing.
Come on.
So we have those. Now back over, we're going to look here. I'm going to start reading in Mark the 5th chapter. In verse 1 it says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there he met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. And let me say this, an unclean spirit is any spirit is an unclean spirit. There is no clean spirits. All of them are unclean spirits. See, most people say, well, this is just a certain type. No, it's just named as a category, unclean spirit. All through the scriptures you find the use of unclean spirits. Why? Because there's not one demon spirit who's righteous, holy, or anything. All of them are unclean. All of them are dark. All of them are darkened to revelation of God. All of them are unclean. You will not find a clean devil. They're all unclean because why? They walk and live in sin. They are bound to it. They cannot do something else. These demons and that stuff have been separated. When Lucifer fell, he no longer walks in any light whatsoever. He will say things and act like he does, but he does not and never. All he does is deceive, to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he does. There is no light in him. He is unclean in all that he does. You see, when the Bible uses these terms, people get off into weird ideas and things. But we need to understand it. Just like, what are we talk with ourselves as a Christian. The Christian's clean. He's washed. People say, we're washed in the blood of Jesus. We've been made clean. We're made holy. We're made righteous. That's what we are. We're made clean. Satan, he's filth no matter what. It's always filth. There's not a good demon. I can tell you. I know from operating in that realm. There's not any good ones. People don't use, you know, people over in the areas, like when I was involved in this sorcery thing, the whole point of using with demons was for selfish reasons. See, some people do this thing with God. They almost try to use God for their selfish reasons of what they want to accomplish and do. You can do that. You can have the wrong motives and all kinds of things. But, you know, people, we used them. That was to get what we wanted. Or to do something against something we didn't want.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't ever about doing good. You know, like they call white witches. I'm going to tell you what, there ain't ever was one. No, you can call it anything you like. The devil's always unclean.
That's right.
He's always unclean. You always, and you need to know that, is unclean. He will always try to get you to lower a standard or get you to do something. That's just the way he operates. That's what he does. So this man's dealing with an unclean spirit. Now, it says, this man with unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. You know, he isn't it like the devil kept him in a graveyard, you know? Just like a devil. And that's what he'll do to you, keep you in the graveyard. He'll keep you in the area of death. He will get you to go over, and you know what? You'll end up hanging with people who are in death. You'll end up hanging around people and that stuff. Oh, yeah, well, they're going through problems. I can identify with them. They're in the death march, and I've joined them, you know? I can identify with it. See, he'll get you over there. He won't get you. It always amazes me how, from a human nature standpoint, it always amazes me. Why do people get in and have a bunch of troubles? And they always do this. They don't draw themselves to people who have life and go. They're always drawn to people who are sympathetic in their death. And sympathetic. They're always drawn to that thing. Well, see, that's demonic. Whether you realize it or not, that's demonic.
Come on.
That's death working. Yep. See, you poor old thing. You've had it so bad. The rest of them don't understand you. That's what the devil does. He'll get you to think, I got this problem and nobody, oh my, and they find somebody who sympathizes them with where they are, and 10 years later they're sympathizing in a group of people that they go visit every week or so and sit down and talk about their problems. And they a problem that they've been on for 10 years and still ain't got over it, and going to the meeting makes it feel better? No, it isn't. You get so used to death, you feed off of it. And you think it makes you feel good to feed off the death. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go to that place. Hallelujah. You want to go to life. You find life.
Amen.
So one thing is I learned, even as a sinner, I learned if you want to get ahead on something that's doing good, find somebody who does it good. You don't find the guy who ain't made it. You don't find the guy that's in your condition that, you know, he can't make it work. Now, him and I are going to work this out together. Now, this is going to work good. This is going to be good now. He don't know nothing, and I don't know nothing. Now we got two dummies. Oh, man, this is going to be great. This is really going to get good. You know? See, I know this guy's an auto mechanic. He can't fix cars. I'm going to take mine right down here to him. I'm just going to... I need a carpenter, and this guy's a terrible job. I'm going to come and have him do it. We're going to get this thing working. We're going to get this stuff going good. And see, is looking, look for life. Always be looking for life. Even when you're in a tough situation, keep your eye toward life.
Amen.
Look toward life. Get it on your voice.
Yes.
It is so easy, and everybody's done it, get on your voice in the wrong thing. I'm saying, everybody's done it. I'm going to tell you what. People say, well, I just get release. Yeah, that's a good fleshly release. But I'll tell you what, it's killing the inner man. The
Come
place
on.
Where you have life, you just shot him.
Come on.
Just you know, get over hampering about the problem. We've all been there, you know. We've all known how to take a bad problem and make it worse. Have we ever done that? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. What we find out about this guy, he said he dwelt among the tombs. No one could bind him, not even with chains. It said because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. So we see there is supernatural manifestations of power through this individual. And you will find this. See, some people say, well, Satan don't have power. Yes, he does. He has power. We see manifestations of power. I've seen this in people already who had demons, dealing with a demon, and they had supernatural power.
Mm-hmm.
Now it says, and always it said, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he said, he cried with a loud voice, saying, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Now look at verse 8, says, for he said to him, Jesus said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Now I want you to see this. Actually, they put it sort of the end of the thing about the guy coming and worship. That guy didn't approach him, and this is not the man in operation, this is the demon operating through the human. Because Jesus commanded the spirit to come out of him, that's why, that's really the demon running to Jesus. He's completely controlling this man. This man is 100% possessed. Now, I want to say this to you as we go on in teaching, but say it coming into this starting. A born-again Christian cannot be 100% possessed. He cannot be. A demon, the Holy Ghost ain't going to live with a demon in your spirit. Ain't no way. That ain't going to happen. See, people can be, you know, there's people can be oppressed or in their bodies by demonic powers, Christians. Loads of time. I've been in numbers of different meetings in place time, them dealing with people. I've seen people and that stuff, Christian people, born again. And they had a problem in their body and they cast a demon out and the person was healed.
Yes.
Well, it wasn't in their spirit. They were a Christian. If you have a demon in your spirit, you ain't a Christian. You can't have a demon in your spirit. Be a Christian. So, don't get yourself over in there. What happened was back in the late 80s and in the 90s, a lot of this stuff got really crazy. And they got over into things where, I mean, so they became really demon conscious and devil kooky. They did a lot of crazy stuff out here dealing with demons. And they got over into saying, and they got all these Christians believing they all had demons and, you know, all the time. It got so things so flaky. We really realize this. Is demonic oppression. A person can be oppressed and not really know about it. One of the things that really gets over into this area, if you're going to be dealing in the areas, which you will have to, you've got to, number one, is be led by the Spirit of God. If you're not led by the Spirit, you're going to, lots of times, operate out of the area of your mind, what you think. Because you see a certain type of manifestation does not mean there's a demon involved. I know for myself, there are people who, two different people, had exact same symptoms in their bodies for sickness. Exactly the same symptoms. And you'd think, well, one person was healed and the other one can never get free. Well, we found out later, there was a demon, and that demon had to be dealt with. And when that demon was dealt with in them, they completely got well. We find Jesus ministered to people. Cast a demon out. So, you got to be led by the Spirit. This is not, he's like, I had an evangelist one time and wrote a thing. God used him, really, a lot of good things. But he made this mention, he said, I pray for people, and just in case there's a demon, I just, you know, cast it out. That ain't faith. You can eat just in case. Faith is based on fact. It has to be a spiritual fact. This is why, you know, God, in the areas of how God has used me, there's a couple times I've seen into the spirit realm of things. But most of the time, God deals with me with demonic stuff. Two times he dealt with me in dreams about demons doing things. But most of the time, he just uses the word of knowledge, and I just know we're dealing with a demon. I just know it. And most of the time, that's the way it operates. Some people, they operate, moreover, where Kenneth Hagin, he, discerning of spirits, he would, when he was over ministering in the spirit, he would sometimes see into the spirit realm. Now, you need to know this. Gifts are the manifestation. These gifts or manifestations operate as the spirit wills, not as you will. As the spirit wills. So, Jesus came. Now, here, dealing with this man, this is an obvious thing. And this guy here, there's a demon thing going on. I'm just going to tell you this. Jesus came there because he was led by the Spirit. This area that he went to, this is Gentile area. This is not Jewish area. This is Gentiles. He turns around and crosses over the big lake over there they call a sea. And he crossed over there on the other side to this place to minister that guy. What happened? He ministered that man. You'll find out if you follow the story. Jesus went back over and went to Galilee ministering again. After a while, he went back over there, and because of this guy's testimony, they all come out. They wanted him to minister to them. So, this is a working of God. Jesus didn't just go around just casting out devils out of everybody, and you won't either. You're not going to do that either. You can't cast demons out of people just because they got a demon. People have to want a demon out of them They're going to have to want something. Just because a person has it, don't mean you deal with it. I have had more times that God told me to let a thing alone with a person, knowing there's a demonic problem, than to deal with it. I've had more times He said, "You let that go. Don't you deal with that." Why? Because there's reasons why. And we need to understand these things. This is why you got to be led by the Spirit. I don't know how you do it any other way. See, when people, I saw this as people write books. Well, if a person has this or that, they got this spirit. If they have this or that, they got that spirit. That's all a bunch of junk. Wouldn't it be nice if we could do that? We wouldn't need the Bible anymore. We wouldn't need the Holy Ghost anymore. What would we need all that for? You know, God might have used that individual in a certain way like that. Then they write a book about this is how it always works. No, it don't. Man, I tell you what, I tried some of that stuff already and failed. God uses a certain thing a certain way. I found out it didn't work the next time. Led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. But we find this guy. So Jesus commanded this spirit to leave him. This spirit operating in that guy ran to Jesus and fell down. Why? He knows this demon knows he's in trouble. A guy showed up that can deal with him. He knows it. And you need to know this about the devil. He's exactly the same way with you if you'll understand it. This is why you don't ever have to be afraid. You don't have to ever worry. He's afraid of you. Well, he goes on and it said, then he asked him, "What's your name?" And he answered saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So in other words, he's Legion. Because you find in this story, there is one demon that possesses a person. Many, many demons may be in an individual, but there'll be one demon that possesses. Always one. The other ones in there, they may have certain influences, but there's one who's the dominant. He's the most powerful. He'll be the most powerful one. Now, I want you to get an idea of this, and this is why I get in our thinking. He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." You know, the word there, Legion, that is used there in the Greek, that comes from the Roman. The Romans had legions. You know how many people were in a legion? A legion had 4,000 to 6,000 men anywhere in that. He said, "My name is Legion." Why? "For we be many." Woo, we a bunch. See, now I want you to think about this. This is why you can't think in the natural in things. Why? When we think of how could some guy have maybe 4,000 to 6,000 demons in him? How could that be? It's because why? We are only conscious mostly to the natural realm and not the spirit realm. Remember, I've said this quite a bit lately, and that's there's no distance and there's no time in the spirit realm. See, your spirit being isn't like your outward body, you know. I can only eat so much at a time that you can stuff in me. It'd take me a lot of going through to get myself. I don't want to build myself up like I did before. I don't want to balloon up. But anyhow, see, we can do that. But see, in the spirit realm, it's hard for us to figure how can that many demons be in a man's spirit. See, don't get over the natural. Here's where you walk in thing. You take, it's true. It's the Bible says. Because you get over, and what happens is, you'll lose the supernatural in you.
Come on.
This is why people have trouble with the supernatural. Because they always equate everything and try to figure out in their mind how it works. I don't care how it works.
Amen.
The Bible says, if the Bible says there's 4,000 to 6,000 in him, it was. That's it. That's the end of it. I don't need another discussion. Why? Because that's not that important. The church has done nothing but major in the minors. And they know a lot less about the spirit realm than they claim to. I'll just say this to you. I'm amazed how little I've known about it. Especially in these areas. I listened to Kenneth Hagin teach in these areas, and Kenneth Hagin said, it's amazing how little we know really on these areas of the spirit realm. How little we know. And I thought, my God, if he knows a little, I must really know a little of him. Is why? Because we focus mostly on the natural and really don't understand. No, if you want revelation from God, accept something is true whether you can figure it out or not. Because you will never get a revelation about it till you accept it as true. This is why people, all this discussion and all this stuff goes on. Well, what about this? And what do you think he meant by that? I ain't got a clue. I just know it's true. So there's a bunch of demons there. We need to understand this. Kenneth Hagin had made mention in one vision he had. And Jesus showed him about a person that was demon-possessed. And he said, in the vision, he said, in other words, Jesus is making an illustration to him about something. One thing you need to know about visions and sometimes dreams and stuff, lots of times they aren't exactly how something is. They're showing you an example of what's behind something going on. And he said, and this man, he saw in the vision, he said it was like this little trap door opened up in his head. And he said, all these, he said, they look like flies, went down inside his mind and went in and closed the door. Now you need to understand this, about this. There are demons that are like flies. They look, you know, they ain't like a house fly or something like that. But we don't have, you know, we don't have descriptions on this stuff of what they're like. But they're like flies. And we, because that's what Beelzebub means. Lord of the flies. That's what it means. There's these little demons. In the realm, in the spirit realm, there's a lot of wild looking critters. There's a lot of wild looking critters in the spirit realm with demons. I'm not interested in what they're just looking like or anything. I want to know what they do and what to do about them.
Amen.
You know? You know, you didn't have to study flies to kill them. You didn't have to find out what they look like. I just figured out I didn't like them. They annoyed me. So you want to kill them. You want... Listen, people are spending too much time, spending way too much time on origins and I don't know all about the origins, but I know the devil, he's messing around today, and I don't like him messing with me. I know that. I don't care what he looks like. I had two dreams. In one dream, I saw a demonic power was going after a person, and that demon was, from a standpoint, a human standpoint, was like the stature of probably about, like a human being, probably about 6 feet tall, somewhere around there, and had arms and legs like a human did. I didn't see into distinctly his face and stuff, but what he was doing and what he was carrying out, I could see. See, there are demonic powers that we need to, there's all kind of different kinds of demonic powers out there in operation. You know, Lucifer don't have horns and a tail. This is men spending their time, wasting their time, coming up with images and knowing nothing about the devil. And so they get that. They're trying to show that he's ugly. You want to see how ugly he is? It's what he does, not what he looks like. Because the Bible says this, he can appear as an angel of light. And now this is how people fail. They're looking for the guy with the pitchfork, and he shows up as a nice guy and pats and pets
you.
That's what he does. He can come as an angel of light. So he can manifest. In other words, he has powers to manifest in different ways. He can do things. We need to identify that. Just like God can. Well, this guy here, he's in trouble. Well, and this guy, he said, also begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. It says, now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000 swine. And it says, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that happened. Said, then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, don't think that might seem strange to us, but we need to understand their cultures, their time, how they believed and what they believed about it. I mean, they didn't have these kind of events. This guy's been around and all of a sudden he's free and they don't know how this happens. They know there's 2,000 pigs that were somebody's money ran down and drowned in the ocean. It's like people today, their money would be more important than that guy getting free. What about the money? Well, that guy, you know, he's sitting over, he's sane now. Yeah, but my pigs are down there. Do you notice this about the devil? Those demons said, you know, let us go over there into their swine. And Jesus said, go ahead. So what did they do? They destroyed them. Just like a devil. Just like demons. We need to understand this. One of the things, if we work out, I think it's in Luke. Luke writes about it, this incident, and they had made mention to him, to Jesus, if he was going to cast them back to the abyss. As number one is abyss. A lot of people think we're going to pass away. You can't cast demons and back into the abyss. You can't do it. They are allowed to be here. When Adam opened the door, he allowed them and gave them authority. He gave Satan the authority to operate in this earth. And while the earth's in its stage right now, he's allowed to operate here. If you could have sent him, you can send him to hell, then Jesus should have sent all the demons to hell. And we didn't ever have to deal with them. What was with him? You can't. Because even mention him, Samuel the abyss, he didn't even talk about it. Why? Because they do have an authority here. Satan in the New Testament is called the God of this world. Being the God, he has an authority here that was given to him to rule and reign. Adam was the previous God of the earth. And he sold it out. He sold out that authority. Satan has it. Now, when Jesus comes, the millennium comes, God's going to put it to a halt and is going to bind him. I want you to understand this about demons. We talk about, people say this, they talk about going and being people in hell and demons are down there tormenting them and stuff. I wonder if that is even true, because devils are afraid to be put down into the pits. They're always, have you come to torment us before the time? They're scared. That's a place of torment. To them too. It's a place of torment to them too. I'm going to tell you what. The devil, when he gets bound for 1,000 years, it's going to be torment for him for 1,000 years. It's going to be great torment to him. See, we really come up with ideas about these, but I found it interesting. I thought, what are the demons? If hell's a place where they rule and reign, don't sound like they're ruling and reigning or nothing. We don't want to go there. Don't torment us. No, don't do it. It's like listening to people. And I've read a numbers of accounts of people who were taken down to hell, what hell was like. And you always find this. For the people that are there, it's a place of torment. Don't sound like anybody's, the devils ain't even having fun down there. Nobody's having fun. It's a place of torment. And so, let's get this in our thinking. Now, so they saw this guy, they became afraid and said, those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine, and they began to plead with him to depart from their region. It says, and when he got into the boat, it says, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Now, one of the things that he did, and we're going to find out here because I'm going to read another scripture that we're going to use for closing. But I want you to get this, that Jesus did something, and you're going to find out why. Jesus said, no, you stay here, you go tell. You stay here, you go tell. Because you want to find out, we understand how demons operate. And whether a demon, for him in possession, that demon, also whether a person is just oppressed in their thoughts or whatever else, we need to understand how demons operate. When a person gets free, is that just it? We need to understand this. It's not just it. It's like I had made mention, and I say this, and that really, I felt really bad about it when I heard these ministers, and I talked about that, the pallets of things they're praying over. And the guy says, when we pray for you, the devil's never going to bother you again. And I thought, oh my God, you don't say that. I mean, here's saying it. I mean, it was a show that they did on TV, and there was actually millions of viewers. And they made that statement. And I thought, oh, you should have never said that. Because this is, the devil will come back to that person, and I'm going to tell you what, will take a bigger hold of them than what they had before. Because they'll think, what's wrong with me? I must be messed up. Something's wrong with me. The devil came back. That don't work for me.
Come on.
I wish the devil would just leave it alone. But I'm going to tell you what, I ain't going to wait till the millennium. You know, we're going to do something. He's here. I'm going to go and we'll fight. We're going to stand. You know, right. The church ain't going to have any trouble in the millennium. The devil ain't going to be bugging. So, but we need to understand this is what is going on and happening. Now, we're going to read here from Matthew, the 12th chapter. Matthew 12:43, and we want to talk about this because this man was set free. And you can see some things about why Jesus, and you'll understand in ministering some to people and even dealing with yourself about the devil and dealing with him. Now, in Matthew, the 12th chapter, we're going to start verse 43, and Jesus makes this statement. He said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finding none. So this here we have a guy who had an unclean spirit. He goes out. What does he have? He don't find rest. See, you need about this. See, people deal with demons like they're some kind. They do these things like they're gleeful things that are tormenting people. They don't realize these things are troubled things. They ain't having, especially this demon. See, when a demon can hound you and you stop him, he goes into really a state of torment. He isn't having happy at all. Understand about in this earth, the greatest manifestation that the devil or God can have is through an individual, through a person. If God don't have, this is the whole thing, God put the Holy Spirit in you. Because his greatest manifestation in the earth is through a person. God don't come and do stuff without people. The gifts of the Spirit, they don't operate without people. Nothing operates. Nothing moves, nothing works. It's operation. Our faith as a human got to speak things and say stuff to bring it past. It don't just happen. See, these people that God's in control, they know nothing. They don't know. They don't get it how this works here. And it's the same way for a demon. A demon wants to possess a person. And the reason why the human being, through a human being, a demon has more expression in the earth than through anything. Now, demons will get into animals. As I said, send us into animals. But they don't have the expression or influence they can have through an individual. And you know what? The higher people get up in authority in this earth, the more Satan wants to operate through them. You want to become a big deal? Better get your faith going. You better learn how to walk by faith. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil's going to come and visit. You got revelation, you're going up, the devil's going to come visit you. This is why people start out, even world leaders and things. You get into a place of power, the devil's coming to visit. The devil's coming to visit. It's the way it is. Why? The most influence over something. So the whole thing is the most influence. In the same manner, if God gets somebody up there who walk with him, then they can have that influence. See, so we're yielded to things, and we need to understand this. We get yielded to things. This is why, you know, when God told Joshua, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, and he needs not be ashamed. You know, that tells us, well, Joshua, you need to meditate on the word day and night. Do this. You got to do this. Why? The New Testament. Study to show yourself. Keep yourself over. Keep yourself in line with the Word of God. Keep it over there. You know, measure things that are going on against the Word of God. Take it over there. Do that. This is where your success is going to lie in. Everybody fits into a place of authority somewhere. Everybody does. She's like, if you have a family, you're people in that family are position of authorities. Where the real breakdown is the demons that have gotten in and in our culture, that everybody's on the same field. We ain't got no leaders. Not even in the household, there's no leaders. Everybody's, you know, everybody got their say. Everybody's going to run. There's no leaders. And so God can't even manifest himself like he wants to. He can't. He can't manifest himself like he wants to. He's not able to. And so we need to understand this. So these demons, they go through a place, and it said, and this is, then he says, what does this demon say? I will return to my house from which I came. He calls that place, this is my house. See, he thinks your house belongs to him.
Come on.
I'm going to get back to this house. He says it's his. This is why we got to notify him, folks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
I ain't renting rooms out. We ain't renting no rooms out here. This ain't a hotel. He said, I'm going to turn the house once I can. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And he says, then they enter and dwell in there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now listen what he says to this. This is not just spoken for individuals. Listen to what he says. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. Now, if you sit down and read this whole concourse of what's going on, the Pharisees come and get a hold of Jesus and they're caught in trouble. But then Jesus starts talking to these ones, he said, that believed in him. And he started dealing with about the demon problems in their life, about their wickedness. And all of a sudden, the believers ain't as friendly. And he speaks to them and tells them, why? Do you know what happened, folks? They rejected the Messiah. 70 AD. Jerusalem's destroyed. Millions of people killed. That generation. When they rejected Jesus, they got seven times worse than what they were. He said, this generation. See, we need to understand about some of these things going on about demonic powers and stuff. Number one, we need to preach these things that it puts the fear of God in people.
Come on.
Everything ain't going to be right. You can't reject truth and everything turn out rosy. He said, so with this generation. You know, we use that thing, but I never see anybody amplify about him saying this generation. And, you know, went back reading and studying the whole thing, and I thought, man, he's talking to people and said they believed in him. But as soon as he touched on them, no, our father's Abraham, ain't nothing wrong with us. We're good. I had people claiming to be Christians, and ain't nothing wrong with me, and they're as messed up as a day is long.
Come on,
preach. Ain't nothing wrong with me. See, we're saying about this thing, we need to understand. See, Jesus got this guy. You go back, you testify. You get back. Don't get, oh, I got all cleaned up, I'm free, I'm just going to go back and go relax now and I can just go have... No, you go back, you be my preacher in the land.
Come on.
The more he talked it, the more it got into him.
Yeah, that's right.
It's putting something in him. Yeah. This is why you want to be a preacher.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Because when I preach, I'm not just talking to you, I'm putting it into
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
I get it in me. I'm talking, words are putting it in me. So when the devil comes, the house ain't cleaned and garnished. The house is full of power. It's got power in the house.
That's
see, we testify. Go testify. Go tell them what I did. He got out there and preached it. I'm going to tell you, I'd be a good preacher. When Jesus showed up again, it said, from all the towns and villages, they all came out and they brought the people to Jesus. For
Amen.
They all want delivered.
Yes.
Good preacher. And you know what? His house wasn't clean and garnished. It was cleaned up. Looked good, but I'm going to tell you, there was power in the house. This is one thing, and I'm just going to say this morning in closing. Don't deal with demonic things and people who are not going to be in the Word and are not going to go to church and not going to sit. Don't deal with them.
Preach. Say that again.
Don't do it. I'm going to tell you. You're going to have more trouble than a little bit with that poor person. Until a person wants to be free and wants to do to what it is to stay free, you got to tell them straight out what it takes to stay free. See, most people come, they have somebody. I like it this way. I would rather deal with the devil myself than go find a preacher that has a certain anointing. Why? Because if I can throw him out, I can keep him out. If I can throw him out, I can keep him out. I was born again 2 months. 2-month-old Christian. My family's sick. Those nice little old spirits that I'd been causing to pop up here and there, they got ugly. And I was at work and I said, the Lord, what am I going to do? He said, you need to go home and throw the devil out of your house. Now, I'm what you call a baby Christian. I'm a baby Christian. But I knew that they're a demon, you know, and the Lord showed me what to do, go home and throw the devil out of his house. But you know what? Now, I'm going to tell you what, power, you don't imagine the fear that Satan can bring. I'm talking about spiritual power. When I walked to my front door and I opened that front door, a demon met me at the front door. I didn't see him with his eyes, but I'm going to tell you what, the power that came, a fear came out that door, would almost not like to knock me down. That's the first time I talked about that. I'm going to tell you what, all I thought first in my mind was, I think I'm getting out of here. I'm going to tell you, you talk about fear. I mean, it was just a gripping thing. See, we deal with fear. We deal with stuff at our sight. We know very little bit about what fear really is in the spirit realm. Fear. Fear is a huge power. Satan runs and dominates with, drives people, runs loads of Christians' lives with it.
Yeah, come on.
Christians scared of all kinds of things don't make sense. I've talked about, you know, you go get on, I'm in a minister's meeting and we're there and we're staying in a hotel, and every time I get in the elevator and you're with ministers, there's always somebody and a wife or a husband saying, I don't like elevators, I don't like enclosed spaces. And I think, my God, let's cast the devil out of you right now. I mean, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost and scared of an elevator?
Come on.
And they don't recognize what this, sit in meetings and talk faith, never use it.
Preach.
I'm scared of heights.
Come on.
Why are you scared of heights? I mean, they'd be up and something's completely sturdy and good, huh? But I'm scared here. Why? What is the devil got a place in you? Don't you allow him to do that. Because that terror will not stop there. It will ease into other areas. I'm not criticizing. I was a little kid, and got over being scared. I mean, I was terrorized of heights. Terrorized of. Got one time up on a thing about 10 feet off the ground, and I'm going to tell you, as a little kid, man, I just screamed and cried. I was scared to death. I froze. I couldn't go up or down, nothing. Froze. But I was out playing with the other kids, and I just got decided in my mind. I just got decided. I thought, you know, I can't run around. My friends, man, they're climbing trees, they're building tree houses, they're doing all kinds of stuff, and Ed's on the ground. And I just decided this. I didn't realize I was following a spiritual principle. I'm going to go out here. I said, I'm going to start climbing trees. I'm going to do this. I ain't going to let this overtake me. Well, let me tell you what. That wasn't no easy thing. So don't tell me what I don't know about it.
Come on.
And you know what? I kept doing it till I can just climb up on anything. I can just climb up on anything. What? How'd that happen? You got to act on it. See, it don't matter what you believe. You're going to one day have to do it. You know, when all the fear goes, then I'm going to climb it. Well, I'm going to say it. It ain't going to go. You're going to have it. You're going to have to get on. And you get on, the devil's going to say, we're going to get you on this. I'm going to get you. Say, no, I'm sorry. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is what I believe. I'm all right. I'm going to do okay.
Amen.
You see, you're going to have to act toward it. Don't let fears drive you. That's demonic. It is. You know? I mean, like there's things. I ain't telling you to go play with rattlesnakes. You know, there's a natural fear. Don't stick your hand on a hot burner on a stove. You know, there's things that you have to have natural sense of, you know, hey, I'm going to get hurt doing something dumb. But you know what? When a rattlesnake's in the other room and the door's closed and you're going nuts, it's a good sign something's wrong with you. Yeah, I'm serious. There's people like that. I've run into Christians like that. My God, you know. They thought there was something. They thought there was a spider in the room. I mean, dear God. There's unnatural fears. And I'm saying this, criticize people. Recognize this. I don't want to be driven by that. I want to be overcome. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let those little things, because the devil will take those little things and he amplifies them. And he puts more things into people's lives. And see, we need to understand the people and dealing with people about this stuff, of what their problems are. See, we're doing that. But you're crazy. You believe in this devil stuff. Well, then just keep yours and have a good time.
Come on, preach.
Don't tell me to pray for you. If you believe it, I'm weird. Don't ask me, because it ain't going to help you anyhow.
Come on.
I'm going to pray you get a brain one day. Did you finally figure out you don't know squat?
Come on. Come on.
See, they're around out of here. You know, you'll find this out. Once the devil understands that you will oppose him, it'll amazing how much he will not bug you about certain things. He won't bug you once he finds out. He don't bug you about certain things. He doesn't do it. There's lots of things we have put up with things for long periods of time and let it go. And so he bugs us. But once you understand the operation, after a while, he doesn't come and bug you a whole bunch about a lot of stuff. Why? He knows how you operate.
Mm-hmm.
But let me see. He's gonna look for other areas. He'll look for other areas, but
yeah.
There's things. You know, there's some people, they live their whole life and they never have peace in certain areas of their life. Have never had a day's peace. Certain areas of their life. Never have a day's peace. Christians. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. Just don't be afraid you have authority. We're going to talk about our authority. We're going to talk about what God's given you. Talking about how to resist the devil, dealing with them. You know, say, well, what all are you going to teach on this? I don't know. The Lord told me what I was supposed to teach. I'm going to have to find it out now. Amen. But we'll go through. There's things that I know from Scripture, but we're going to go through these things because I want you to see who and what you are. Not what you're trying to be. It's what you are. The Bible tells you what you are. Now, we're taking communion today. Communion's about our authority. It's what's been given to us. Communion's about our authority today. It's our redemption from the curse of the law. It's what it is, what we're free from. Under the curse of the law, people are going to be under the curse. People would be afraid. They would be fearful. That's one of the curses, is to be fearful. We live in a world. America is full of fear. Fear driven in America. Filled with it. Fear of the future. Christians, fear of the future. And then talk about Jesus. Oh my God. But it's not a reality. It's got to become a reality. Hold it. I'm not going to be dominated by fear. Under fear, you and I never make good decisions with fear. When you make decisions when fear is going on, it's usually going to be the wrong one. It's the one you wish you wouldn't have done it. Wish you wouldn't have done that. See, fear does. God don't want you to be afraid. Hallelujah. One of the things that I had to learn as a young Christian was this. If something happens, don't just abruptly do something in response to what happened. Because what happened, your mind usually gets filled with what's going on and you're not seeing clearly about what took place. And you had to stop. And I've learned to do this. Something goes on, it happens. I mean, I've been in situations where very something could have been life or death. But I stopped. Said, and the first thing is this, I turn in my heart to God.
Come on.
What do I need to do? I've never had one time that He hasn't spoken to me.
Amen.
In situations. Not one time.
Amen.
I didn't have to run around, wring my hands, screaming, yelling, no, oh, help, help, help. No. The help's on the inside.
Yes.
You got the helper in you. You have the He don't just comfort you when you always feel sad. He comforts you in the middle of the storm.
Yes.
That you ain't like the disciples. Don't Jesus know that we're drowning? Why don't He get up? That's the prayer of most of the saints when trouble comes.
Come on.
Oh God, where are you at? He's in you the last time we checked. And He don't sleep nor slumber. So He ain't on the pillow. You see, you got to get thinking right about prayer. The response to prayer is usually where the big mistakes are made. What we request is usually the big mistake because we're requesting out of fear, out of, this, God, I'll do something quick for me. And it's not God's in me. He's going to help me. I just want to thank you. You're going to help me in this mess. If anybody's going to help me, it's you, the guy. Woo! You're going to help. You moved in because you knew I needed help. That's why you moved in here. You're the Holy Ghost, the helper. So we take communion day is to remind us who and what we are. We have been set apart from the curse of the law today. Set apart from the curse. I want you to think about that today. When you take these elements, hallelujah. Jesus took in His body. He took the curse on His body. So you ain't cursed in your body.
Amen.
See, that's where the devil really plays at your body. Not just with sickness and disease. But that's where his torment, all these things, your flesh. Always, your feelings. He gets your chest, you ain't been, you've been feeling depressed lately. Well, you made a mistake last year. Did you know that? What about what you did back yonder there? God forgave you, but. He playing your emotions. He does things. Wow, He's always doing things. He's nothing but death. That's why He's leading you to death. He knows this. If He can get you over there, He can shorten your life.
Yes.
Come on.
Praise God. We're going to have communion here. There's something. Well, we'll pick something up in the next time. But we're going to talk about some of these things because not just living a long time, but living a good long time. See, get this fact. You're taking communion. God, Jesus Christ specifically gave us these elements. Specifically. He said, what do we do this? To remember Him. God, there's a lot out here that wants to get us off the reminding him. All the 5,000 troubles in one Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, he can take care of a million problems. Sit down and read through the curse and sit down and read. And he dealt with that whole thing. I'll get down there. You look through the curse. I will guarantee you, you'll find your problem. And you'll say, oh, I was redeemed of that. He's not going to redeem me from it. He has.
Yes.
Why have I been living like this thing can live with you?
Amen.
I've been redeemed from it. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we just say thank you this morning for your great love and concern for us. And you cared for mankind so much that you sent your wonderful son, Jesus. And Lord God, I just want to thank you. He didn't just come back and just say, well, I forgive you of sin and stuff. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you because he defeated the one who messed this whole thing up. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I just want to say thank you today. Hallelujah. That Satan truly is under our feet. And you did it, Lord. You did this for us. It's not because of any wonderful thing that we ever accomplished or we ever did. This was 100% the God of heaven's doing for the love of humanity. And Lord God, we recognize that. And Jesus, I just this morning, we want to thank you. As you came down here, reminded of these wonderful, these elements that tell us of the victory that we have. The Lord, that you took on our defeat. You took on our mess on your body. Hallelujah. So we could live in glory and victory. Oh, hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Lord. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you today, Lord God, you didn't take us, give us this communion table to be sad or all bad. Oh, no, it's to joy and rejoice in the fact, hallelujah, for what our wonderful Savior has done for us. Hallelujah. That our great enemy, Satan, has been 100% defeated in the name of Jesus. All that he had to hold against mankind, all that he had, all of his, whatever his weapons are, that they're all taken from him. All he's got is a big mouth left. That's all he got against us. But Lord God, I want to thank you. We have the name of Jesus Christ. We have the name above every name. Hallelujah. And Satan is defeated in that name. His knee has to always bow. And we thank you for that, Father. As we take these elements today, we're reminded of our great victory that's in Christ Jesus. We're reminded today, hallelujah, of your love and mercy that happened then. And it just didn't happen to us one day. It's a continuous blessing from day to day to day to day and forever. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.